Okay, so we've got two bits of Bible reading today. So the first one is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, and then chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And it is on page 2 of the standard print Pew Bibles. Alright, so chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat from it, you will certainly die." And then chapter 3, verse 17. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return."
Let's kick off with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you that we can be here this evening to listen to your word. I pray that you will soften our hearts so that we may be able to hear the message that you have for us tonight, and open our ears that we would be able to hear from your word, and that it would be moving and alive within our life, and that the Holy Spirit would be moving within us as we hear from it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at a series on family, work, and next week we'll be friends, and this week we'll be looking at work. And it's something I've had the chance to think a lot about, and because it's thematic, please keep your Bibles open. We'll be flipping around through multiple passages as we look at what different parts of the Bible has to say about work. And I remember distinctly one of the memories I have from my first introduction to accounting lectures. He asked us a simple question: "Do you love Excel?" And let us pause and think about that for a minute, and gave us the time to think about what that really meant. And then he finished by making the comment of, if you're an accountant, you'll probably end up spending more time with Excel than your significant other. And it reflects the reality of work, because we spend most of our time at work during the week. 5 out of 7 days, we tend to be working in one way or another. So then, why do we work? What does it mean? How do we have a vision for work? Thankfully, I'll be going through work and looking at it, and looking at how God created us to work from Genesis, as well as the implications that sin has for work, as God cursed work. But then we'll also be looking at what God did through Jesus Christ as he came in the likeness of a man to save us, and how that helps renew the work that we do. So if we start by looking at the passage from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. We see that God gave Adam the opportunity and the job to be able to take care of God's creation. And we see that this has implications for the way that we work. If we think about the work that we do, it can be either products or services. We're either dealing with products that we create, that we're using things God has created and giving them or selling them to other people, or services where we're interacting with other human beings, and that we're taking care of God's creation for the services that we provide somebody else. And as we think about that framework, we can take that into thinking about how students are taking time to learn about God's creation so that they are able to fulfill this vision of being able to work and take care of God's creation, and hopefully that whilst they're learning, they're becoming better at taking care of God's creation as they continue to learn and to grow. And it's something you can see throughout high school and university as people specialize in different ways. For example, science. People are learning about the way that God's world works in the hope that they can use those things to improve how creation works together. As well as professionals using their knowledge that they have gained to serve other peoples, that they're using their understanding of the world that God has created to interact with one another. As well as retirees, they have wisdom and experience across their life that even they may be retired from a 9-to-5, 5-day-a-week job, they still have their wisdom and experience that they can be using to serve Christ in their retirement in various forms. But then it sounds nice, however, we also have sin in our world, and we must also grapple with the reality of what that means as we do our work of looking after God's creation. And we can see it permeating out in a way. So I'll read from Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, and for dust you are, and dust you will return." And we see that in this, work suddenly becomes a lot more difficult. Weeds are in our work with the thorns and the thistles. While we all may not need to be gardeners to appreciate the difficulty of thorns and thistles, there are also other things and the ripple effect of sin that has in our life as we deal with creation. For example, we can see jealousy in Genesis chapter 4 in the story of Cain and Abel. As Cain and Abel present their offering to the Lord, Cain becomes angry, and God warns him that sin is crouching at his door, and the story ends as Cain murdering Abel from that anger. And that's an impact of sin that can happen in the world. Imagine jealousy in the workplace, comparing yourself to someone else, potentially your work, prestige, looking at what they have that you don't, and how that sin is part of the world and it impacts the way you are looking after God's creation. We also see selfishness in Genesis chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel, where they go to the plain of Shinar and they look and see and set the task for themselves to build a tower so that they may make a great name for themselves, that they are seeking to establish themselves through the work that they do for their own selfish ambition of making their name great. And selfishness in the workplace can have a huge impact with the way that we interact with taking care of God's creation. Because we are choosing to do things our way instead of God's way with the way we interact with other people. And we can also see this in idolatry. For example, in Exodus 32, we see Aaron build a golden calf after the Israelites have come out of Egypt, and they bow down and worship it. In cases of work, people can turn work into an idol. The work becomes this ultimate thing that they rest all their hopes and dreams in, and all their ambitions. And we can see stories of that in things like the global financial crisis, where when people's work was impacted, their lives crumble, and how they perceive their reality is shattered because work was this ultimate thing that they aspired to learn and achieve in the way that they take care of God's creation. And it means we can see the impact of sin that it has on the way we take care and look after God's creation. But there's good news, because God cares about us and sent his Son to redeem us. So let us read from Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. At one time, we were too foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And this passage shows us we can be transformed by the Holy Spirit and the power of renewal that it brings, that we see in the beginning God creating us to look after his creation, but then sin enters the world and breaks our relationship with God, and the sin impacts the way that we look after that creation. God loved us enough to see that we needed the relationship with him restored, and Jesus paid the price for our sin so that that restoration could happen, that we could bridge that gap between us and God. And this means that we can be renewed and that we can go back to the original picture that God painted in creation. And we can see this in the example of Jesus and the perspective that it brings, knowing Christ. We can see this through things like jealousy can be turned into contentment. We talked about a handful of weeks ago the passage from Philippians where we can are to be content in all circumstances, and Paul learned that. We see how selfishness can be transformed to selflessness with the renewal of the Holy Spirit, that we are to love one another through the example set by Christ in the way that we interact with the world. And idolatry, instead of worshipping something else other than God, we're worshipping God, and this gives us a hope and an eternal perspective where we know that our treasures are in heaven with God and having a right relationship with him, instead of treasures on this earth here in material possessions. And that new renewed perspective gives us the ability to know God more deeply and understand how to best look after God's creation as he desired us to do in the beginning of Genesis. And we can see specific examples of it in a passage from Colossians. It's reading from Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Imagine being able to go to work, a place, instead of just being physically clothed with a suit or a uniform, you're clothed with those virtues listed here of love, patience, gentleness, kindness, and compassion with the way that you interact with other people and the way that you take care of God's creation in the work that you would be doing. Imagine how you can interact with your colleagues with compassion when you may have difficulties in a meeting or a discussion at work. You can choose to show your colleague kindness and compassion with the way you discuss the issue and try and seek a resolution. You can show gentleness to people you interact with day to day throughout the way that you work. And this all comes back to the vision that God had in Genesis of taking care of his creation. We can see these attributes in the way Christ loved us, and it makes the point of love binds all these together in the way that we are to interact with each other and other people. And that can be a powerful expression in the way that we work in our workplaces and take care of God's creation with all the various places of work, be it a student, be it a professional, or be it a retiree, that we are able to work within. And it's this confidence of knowing that we have an identity in Christ that allows us to be able to do these things, that this renewing of the Holy Spirit is within us. If we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Saviour, we are able to be doing these things in the way that we work and the way that we take care of God's creation in all that we do. And we can further see this in Colossians 3:23-24, having an identity in Christ. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. We can see that having a perspective that focuses on what God has done for us and coming from a place where we are responding to the love that God has shown us comes and expresses itself through working in a way that serves the Lord, in a way that knows that our inheritance is secure in Christ and his death and resurrection on the cross, that we have the hope of eternity, that we can put it into perspective that the life that we're currently living is temporary compared to eternity, which will go on and on and on and on and on forever. It rearranges our priorities in life, and that allows us to be like Christ through the Holy Spirit. We can be loving one another. We can be loving people as we work and we look after God's creation in all that we do. And as we come to the conclusion, I'd like to encourage you, as we think about how we were created for work by God in the beginning, that God put humans in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of creation. However, being aware that we still work in a world which is filled with sin, and that has a ripple effect on the way we are able to look after God's creation and how we do that from a day to day as we apply it to our lives. We can have things like selfishness, jealousy, and idolatry be things that are part of our day to day as we interact with different colleagues. But we also have the joy of knowing that work was transformed through Christ dying on the cross, that he can save us from our sin, that the price for our sin was paid for, that we have the hope of eternity, which changes our perspective and gives us a hope of eternity, having an identity in Christ, knowing we have an inheritance, changes the way we are able to approach work and look after God's creation. And I would like to encourage you by reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, by knowing that we are the light of the world with the way that we work. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I hope that as you go out into the week, that you will be able to be a light wherever you may work, that you will be clothed in a way that reflects God's glory in all that you do. And let me close in a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for your grace given us to us through Christ, that he died to pay the price for our sin, that we may be with you and have the hope of eternity, that our relationship with you, God, is restored because of Christ's sacrifice. And thank you for your love and that you care for us deeply, God. And I pray that we may know this truth deeply, that we are heirs to an inheritance, God, that we do have the hope of heaven beyond this life, that you are a God who keeps his promises. And we pray that as we go out into our week, that we would be lights that reflects that glory and reflects that reality. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.